Welcome to the She Speaks Sport podcast, proudly elevating women's sport and sharing athlete stories in their own voices. Join us for empowering conversations and a front row seat to the stories that deserve to be heard.
I'm super, super thrilled and excited today to be joined by Olivia Apps. And of course, if you love rugby and you've been following the rugby scene, especially sevens and the Olympics this year, then I hope that you are no stranger to Olivia and her incredible captaincy in the Canada women's team. And we're going to talk about that today. But before we get to that and before I introduce her to you, Olivia, thank you so, so much for making time to just spend with me today. And I hope that you've been doing really cool. I know that you've been taking a little bit of much needed and much deserved time off. And I know it's your birthday soon as well. So I hope that you're just doing really, really cool. So how's it going that side?
Yeah. Hi, Lauren. Thank you so much for having me. It's always really cool to be able to talk about rugby and my experience and something that's been a big passion of mine for a long time. So yes, I'm very much enjoying some time off right now, some recharge time.
I think it's like so well deserved, but I mean, sometimes we say that because we're like, oh, rest has to come after having done so many amazing things, but we deserve time off as human beings as well. And I'm so glad that you're doing that, because I'm sure, like, you know, there's Dubai Sevens and then there's Cape Town Sevens, which you're going to be missing. Was that like kind of a difficult decision to make, to go, okay, you know what? I'm not going to be doing that this year. I'm going to get into the swing back in January. Was that tough?
Yeah, it was really tough. I mean, like, I think you kind of said it. It's with, especially with sport, it's always weird to feel like you're taking time away or choosing to not be a part of something. It's my first time in my journey, my career with rugby so far, is intentionally taking time off. And after the Olympics, especially after this high, I was thinking, okay, wait, do I want to take this time off? Should I be resting in the fall? Should I be going to my Cape Town? Because I'd already made these plans beforehand. But I think what's really cool is that now that I'm in this transition time, taking a bit of space from rugby has reignited that like desire and that excitement that I've always had for the game, so that I know in January I'm going to be really excited to get back on the field. And it's a great opportunity in the first year of a quad to see a lot of younger players really get their opportunity to play on that international stage. And I know that when that was me after Rio and getting to play in Dubai Cape Town, so I'm just really excited for them and to be able to watch. I'm in a different set of shoes right now, so it's different, but I'm trying to embrace it.
That's super cool to hear, though. I mean, it's so incredible. Rest is so important, right? But I think that we don't do it. But even more so for you as a professional athlete. I mean, like you said, you're in a different set of shoes now, so that's quite crazy. So you actually, I mean, you're going to be watching like behind the TV, like the rest of the world, right?
Yeah. It's going to be weird. It's going to be so weird, like waking up at 3 a.m. and watching the games. But like, I'm excited to have that experience. I think everybody needs to do it, like watch it. I mean, I'm sure right after I retire, for sure, I'll be watching Dubai Sevens all the time. But I'll be excited for that for sure.
That is super, super cool. And also, like you said, younger players. And I'm going to talk to you about that as well. And of course, the team that are going to be showing up in Cape Town, because we love the Sevens here in Cape Town. Like, I'm sure you know that as well. Like, the vibe is so
we
cool.
Love it too. We love Cape Town. It's our favorite one for sure. So
really? Wow. Cool. Well, we love it. I mean, the vibe has been going for like some weeks already, and like, I just get email after email every day, like, hey, it's the Sevens. Hey, it's the Sevens. I'm like, guys, we know it's the Sevens. Okay, just calm down. Because there's such a cool vibe around it. But before we talk about that, I know that I need to introduce, and I want to do this because you're just so phenomenal. And also, you know, some people do know who you are, but just to give them a little bit more of an in-depth of who Olivia Apps is. And of course, she is the captain of the National Senior Women's Sevens team and also the Olympic silver medalist, which we're going to talk about. And she has been a member of the national program since 2016. She currently lives in Victoria, BC, where she trains full-time, and she is a two-time Olympian. Her first appearance was at Tokyo 2021 Olympic Games, and her second appearance appearance was, of course, at the Paris Olympics that we just got to witness this past summer, where she captained the squad to that incredible silver. It was amazing to watch. And her team was the first ever women's Canadian team to reach an Olympic final, creating history for women's rugby in Canada. And also she competes in both the sevens and the 15s internationally. And she's also participated in two Rugby Sevens World Cups, two Commonwealth Games, a Rugby 15s World Cup, and has played on the Rugby Sevens World Series since 2018. And she's a leader on the national team, and she leads authentically through her everyday interactions with her teammates and also the support staff. And then we can hear that in Olivia as she's talking about the team now. And she prides herself on the team culture that has grown throughout her years as a leader. And she's always trying to improve herself as a leader, but not only as a leader, as a friend, as well as a teammate. And that's super, super important. Now, Olivia, I know in your spare time, you like cooking, which is super cool. And you like hiking and spending time with your dogs and your partner in the beautiful BC. Now, my in-laws live very close to where you are. So I know it is such a beautiful part of the world. And you're a student at the Royal Roads University, where you're hoping to complete your master's in leadership. Now, how do you find time to balance study work with leadership as a senior rugby player on the national team?
Well, to be honest, it's been a journey in itself figuring out how to get that balance right. Because I started playing the national team when I was so young, like when I should have been in university right away, but it was too much to, as you're a new athlete, you're trying to figure out how to balance that lifestyle. And then, you know, 15, when you add in 15 scheduling too, I'm really on the road more than I'm home. And it's not until the last year where I really feel like I can give a good job, I guess, to both rugby and to my education. So this year is like the first full year that I've been immersed with Royal Roads and starting to chip away at my degree, which is great because they offer an online program for people like me that have full-time jobs. So, which is amazing. I can travel and I can still work on my education.
I think we forget sometimes how much traveling you have to do, how much traveling, you know, rugby players do, as, and our women's rugby players as well. I mean, it's like you could be the captain already of like the of the plane that you're in. You're like, I've done this so many times, you know, and it's hard that as well, like to be traveling all the time. I mean, it's obviously part of doing what you love and what you're passionate about as well, but it's a lot. So it's incredible that you're, you know, completing this amazing education and really getting into that. It's just amazing. And I wanted to ask you, you know, we obviously in the introduction and introducing you to everybody, leadership is a huge, huge part of who you are as a person. And I know that Tokyo, or it feels like all those years ago, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but it does feel very long ago.
It does feel,
yeah. It does for me, so I'm sure it does for you as well. I mean, you the team finished ninth in Tokyo, and there was a reality of going out of that and going, we have to rebuild. We have to, you know, do something with the team where we're rebuilding. We have to create, you know, a different space. We also have to create a safe space, a different environment. We have to go back almost to the drawing board, and we have to now do something different. And then coming into Paris, that difference was there. The team finishing second, it was beautiful to watch, to be honest. Seeing you ladies get that silver, it was a beautiful moment to witness. But also knowing that there had been so much that had to happen and that had happened behind the scenes. Now, how was that for you as a captain? Talk to us about, you know, Tokyo and then Paris.
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, thank you for saying that. I think that it definitely, beautiful is a word that really resonates with me in that experience when people ask me. And it's cool to hear that people can see that as well. And that in some ways know our rugby journey through, like in the national program, I think it's really validating. But I mean, rebuilding a program, I mean, no one really writes a book on it, you know, like no one writes a how to rebuild a program after, you know, like a devastating Olympic finish or after 75% of your veterans retire. Like we kind of walked in there, and part of me just walked in and felt excited just for a clean slate. But also, you know, as things get going, you realize, oh yeah, we have a whole team that's brand new. We have three returning Olympians right now, and the rest of the team are 17-year-olds and 19-year-olds, and they're just frothing at the mouths to get to play on the international stage. And they were just playing at the university or their club like 2 weeks ago. So that was quite, it was just quite an like a hard start for us when the reality hit me, when I said, oh my gosh, okay, this is really cool because we get to make this what we want with no, we get to really have a clean slate, I guess. And we had new staff, we had a new CEO at Rugby Canada, we had a lot of changes, and that was really cool. As scary as it was and as challenging as it was a really unique experience, and I think is a credit to our Paris outcome, is just having the opportunity to really redefine ourselves. And a lot of that came with allowing the team to just be who they are. And we just, it wasn't like, okay, these are our values and this is what we're going to try to do. It's like, okay, let's see actually what we are naturally. Let's see what comes to us naturally as a team. And then we'll find those strengths and then we'll just enhance those and magnify those and build those up. And then we'll see where our work-ons are and our weaknesses, and then we'll really, you know, we'll name those and we'll focus on those so that they aren't just our weaknesses, they're something that we're aware of, and then we can build those up to also be our strengths. But that waiting game and that patience time was hard. Like that's the hard part, that you want to just get the team to a place where it was before, in a way, or you think you want it to be that team from Rio where they got bronze and you're caught up in the legacy of the program. So letting the group really just settle in and figure out who they want to be and how they want to play is a painful experience in a way, because it just takes time, and I'm not a patient person. So that's the I think that was one of the bigger challenges of the rebuild. I mean, it's easy to look back now and say, oh yeah, like full perspective, the 3 years, you know, look where we got to, like totally. But I wish I had somebody in those years to say, hey, like, it's okay. This is only year one. This is only year two. It'll come. Or think about the long game. Think about this. Like every tournament feels, every HSBC feels like it's the be all and end all, you know, it's like the defining moment for your team. And how you did in Sydney Sevens, how you did at Hong Kong Sevens defines you sometimes. Defines all the work that you've put in that training block or the work you put in that season. But I think what I've learned in this is that it really is just one, you know, stepping stone into choosing how you want to let it define you, I guess. And those years put in, and those times we came 11th, or the times we came third, or we just missed that semifinal, all those things just defined our reaction to it and how we wanted to show up in 3 years' time in Paris.
I think it's so powerful to just hear this from you as well. And, you know, I always feel I'm also not a patient person. Sometimes I can get really frustrated. So I really can connect on that level with you. And I think that when people say to you, you know, we're playing the long game, you're kind of like, okay, I get that. But right now, in this moment, you know, whether it's year one or it's year two still, the long game seems extremely long. It seems extremely like it's in the future, like when I'm 75 years old. Like, how do I play the long game without getting focused on the long game and being in my present? That must have been really hard, though, as well. Like you said, I mean, when you're rebuilding, and also you're the captain, so there was a level of there is not was, but there is a level of responsibility on you, right? And creating that environment that you really want to have. I think it's so amazing that you use the words and said, like, you know, it's about who we are naturally. It's not about changing and trying to do all these things. It was about using that, and it is about using that. And I can only imagine how difficult it must have been. You know, how did you feel when you stood on the podium in Paris with a silver around your neck, going like, okay, this is a long game we played. We still have other goals for sure that you want to reach in the future. I'm absolutely sure of that. But was there just a relief? Was it just joy? Was it just everything? What was going through your mind in that moment when you were standing there?
Yeah, I mean, oh, that, yeah, that podium moment. And I think us, you know, celebrating beating Australia, knowing that we were in the final, that those two moments, it's just, there's obviously a lot of just pure joy and adrenaline and excitement. And then there's this, I think for me, and I know for other players that I've spoken to, there's this like feeling of healing or resolve that we felt being on the podium, knowing that. I mean, because yes, there was 14 of us on the podium, and then there's the other, you know, 10 players that weren't, you know, were part of our program that weren't selected, that you think of in that, in those moments. And then there's the entirety of the program. Like I'm thinking of the Tokyo team and how devastating that finish was for a lot of those players that were finishing their careers at that time, or that would have been their last Olympics. And the work that we tried to do to reset our team culture. And everything that was for the future generations to say, okay, how do we want high performance to be in women's rugby in Canada? Not this way. We want it to be something like this. We don't know yet, but we're gonna try. And we tried, and we didn't get it by Tokyo. But now to be in Paris and show that we didn't have to sacrifice culture for performance, we were able to have both, and we were able to have. It was actually one of the bigger reasons why we were able to achieve so much success. Is a credit to all of those players also. And I think for me, I felt a lot of, you know, healing for myself and also for them. And hopefully they see now like all those sacrifices are for this team now and for 2028 and 2032. And that to me was a feeling I can't really put into words, but it was just really, it was a beautiful feeling. And it just felt like this, that journey in a way had finally come to a close in a perfect ribbon that you don't really get to have. I mean, gold would have been the ultimate perfect ribbon for sure. But yeah, I think it's something that not a lot of us in our careers get to have something like that. And I was really grateful to be able to share that with them.
And that's the word that keeps coming to me, like in our conversation as I'm listening to you, that word beautiful. It just keeps on coming up. Like it just keeps on resonating. I feel like it's really it's kind of what ties things together. And that's what I wanted to ask you as well. You know, though the players who had been part of Tokyo, and we would consider them like the veterans, right? Who had retired their journeys and the national team had, you know, come to that end. How was, you know, how did they respond to the team? Like obviously there's conversations that happen, there's like messages that get sent like after the game. What was it like for them to witness the team exactly like you said it was? And we talk about this often, what we do today is for future generations, and especially for women, especially for girls, especially for what we're doing. That is what it is about. And it's a vision that you have for the future as well. Everything that you do, and especially, I mean, you know that as a athlete in women's rugby, it's huge, you know, what we're doing for future generations here. But what was their response like? How did they feel? Like those incredible players that you know that had not been on the field with you, but were definitely there in heart and mind and kind of soul, even though not maybe physically. What was their response after that?
I mean, yeah, I think for a lot of those players that I spoke to after or during, there's just so much love and support and excitement. And I think that in a lot of ways, in the messages that were exchanged, it's just I could sense that little like piece of like, I don't know, darkness from Tokyo or that part that wasn't really resolved just floated away, you know, like it's just something that we didn't really know what it was going to look like when we felt like we said, okay, this is for later. These are the sacrifices we're making for the future. We don't really know what that means because we're just hoping that it's going to be something. But then to see it actually turn into that, for them, I think, and I can't speak to all of their experiences and I'm not in touch with all of the players from Tokyo, but those veteran players, I think, feel so much love and joy and excitement for the future of women's rugby and just so proud of their team and our team and what we were able to accomplish with them and because of them. And it was a very like holistic or like group mindset where it wasn't just the Paris team, it was our team, our entire team and what we've been able to do. So just so much, yeah, so much pride and love, which was really cool.
That is super cool. And I just love hearing this as well. I mean, it's what we don't always get to see, and I think it is incredible. And I wanted to ask you, how is, women's rugby received in Canada specifically? When you think when people think about rugby, like in general, they think certain countries, right?
For
It's like
sure, yeah.
okay, Australia, New Zealand, I have to say South Africa,
For
England.
oh, for sure,
Like, okay, yeah, Wales, we'll throw in there. Ireland, we'll throw
yeah.
in there. France, we'll throw in there. But I mean, there's rugby played in so many other different countries. I think of women's rugby in Canada, the USA, I mean, Japan, right? It's definitely not a country that people were talking about a couple of years ago when it comes to rugby. The women's team is incredible. I think they're so bust and they just nippy. But it's incredible to expand people's minds and go, actually,
For
rugby
sure.
and women's rugby is incredible in other countries. How is it received in Canada? Is there support? Do people come and watch when they can? Is the media interested? Is there exposure? What does that look like in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, Canadians love rugby. The Canadians that I see watching rugby are the Canadians that saw us in Paris and would come up to me on the street or like wherever in the parking lot in a restaurant. But so many people had said, I watched you in Paris, and that was my first time watching rugby. And I never felt so like touched by a sport before. That you guys are amazing. Like there was that reaction, and so many people watching it for the first time. I was like, that's really cool, because not I'm sure that like CBC throws on our final on the TV because we're in the final, but and CBC is the main network in Canada, so people got to watch it live, which doesn't happen often. But I would say the support we have. I mean, I could always say it could be better. We could always have more fans, we could always have more exposure, but we have our Vancouver Sevens tournament every year, and we get a great crowd. We get a great show, like around 40,000 people in BC Place, and I would say that's been a pretty electric environment for us to play in. And I hear about since Paris a lot more young girls going out to the clubs, and the clubs are flooded with players, getting more membership in, more players. Like we have three teams for the women's senior side here in Victoria. It seems like it's really taken a positive turn. That being said, like rugby, I think can always get more exposure in North America, but North America crushed it at the Olympics. The USA got bronze. They've had their own, just showcasing of talent this year, this last 3 years. So I think that's done an amazing job. And I think on the 15 side as well, you see how North America is making big strides forward. I mean, on the Canadian team, they're second, but like the USA as well, they're doing a really great job. So I think that all in all just, contributes to the more exposure we have, the more attention, and hopefully that just continues to grow.
I love that. And I love the fact that it's amazing also, though, to witness how a win or winning a medal at the Olympics can create significant change, right? I mean, that win is creating significant change, more young girls, getting involved at clubs, more people turning around and going, hey, we watched you. We got to witness that. And they can fall in love with rugby because rugby is an amazing sport. It's incredible. And to fall in love with it, I mean, you just got to be exposed to it. And you're like, yes, okay, where can I watch the next game? Where can I go and see it? I think that that is really cool and it's so significant. And I always find it interesting how when there's a team that wins a medal, whether it be in Olympics or, a World Cup final or something like that, then there's always so much more interest. And people would say, yeah, but that is gonna happen. But it's an interesting concept that, when a team wins something, then people get interested. It's not a bad thing, but it is still something that I think about, like, okay, but I want to ask you something. When the team when you ladies won at the Olympics, I know that I saw you really briefly at the Captain's Day for the Sevens last year, almost exactly a year ago, because it's gonna be Captain's Day, like literally soon. Okay. The Sevens.
Wild.
It's so wild. I mean, time goes so quickly. And I remember I was having a quick conversation, and it's something I'm going to ask you about now about alopecia, because it was something that people do ask you about, and there's like an intrigue, like, oh, okay. Does Olivia shave her hair like that? Does she want to, like shave her hair off? And like people do ask those questions. The interesting thing is that me and you having that quick conversation in like a year ago, I reposted that when you guys won at the sevens, and literally within an hour, there was like over 8,000 views. And I got some young girls that have alopecia actually contact me and send DMs and go like, Olivia is just a living role model for us as well and our journeys. And I was like really moved by that. I mean, it's not even my story. I was just like sharing a little bit. And I wanted to talk to you about that. I mean, you have complete like confidence. You have this confidence level, which I'm sure you've grown into over a long period of time. But living with alopecia, you've been so confident in yourself and going, hey, this is who I am. And that impacts so many people. So tell me a little bit about that. Obviously, you were diagnosed with alopecia when you were quite young. If I remember correctly. So how has that journey been for you? And have you considered that, hey, you know what? I've accepted who I am, and that really does almost become like a testimony to other people, and especially young people, young girls, as to who they can be and how we can each embrace who we really are.
I mean, I'll start by saying that it definitely is a journey and a confidence that I grew into. You know, like I lost my hair when I was 7, and it wasn't just like I lost all my hair and then boom, okay, I'm a confident young woman without any hair. And I think that's important for anybody who's listening, that it takes time to become confident in how you look. And just because I am confident now, and like I love how I look and I've embraced who I am, doesn't mean that it was always this easy for me, because it's challenging. Like losing your hair at a young age, and just always having to challenge those traditional beauty standards that are placed on women across the world, is definitely, I would think, a long-term journey and something that you have to be really intentional with. But that being said, I think I've, over the years, it's become a superpower for me in having alopecia and being able to, you know, just stand up on the platform that I have and say, yeah, I love how I look and I love who I am. And, you know, being bald and having no hair is beautiful, and you are beautiful, and you can find belonging in this world. And I think that for a lot of people, that's what it comes down to, is worried about, you're worried about finding acceptance and belonging. And this world can definitely be really harsh, but also I found that in at least my community, the amount of acceptance you get from just accepting who you are and instilling that confidence in other people is super, super cool. And I love seeing people that have really embraced who they are and have accepted how they are, regardless of how they look. And I think that that's a superpower that is unstoppable. It's really unstoppable. And I don't know, it's a journey that I think for me, I've been really lucky. I've been surrounded by amazing family and support to get me through like some really hard times. But that being said, sport in the end, I think, is what really got me to this place. I found rugby, and rugby is this really inclusive, empowering sport in this space where I could be myself and express myself without thinking about how I looked. And then that confidence, you know, just translated into all areas of my life. And I don't know, it's something that I'll always be so grateful for the game for that. And now I'm just finding ways, I guess, to give back to the game in that way, because it gave me so much.
It's so incredible to hear that, sport is it's not only about, the game that you play, but what it actually gives to you as a person. And that unique journey that it has with each individual athlete, with the sport that they connect to and that they play. It's not just about, it's not just about the game and why you love the game, but it gives you so much in your life as well. And so it's like rugby gave you, like you use that word, empowerment as well, empowerment. That's amazing. And did you feel though nervous when you made your international debut all those years ago, like running onto the field and being like, hey, you know what? Like I kind of do look different. And the point is that we're so defined, by the beauty standards of the world. And I've always thought about it because of like how people interpret hair. And it's always like, oh, you gotta have long hair. And if you have short hair, even like me, it's like, when are you gonna grow your hair? And people keep asking that. I'm like, what? Why is that a thing? Why are other women asking me that? Like, what the? Why is this a thing? Like, do we associate, what do we associate with what makes us beautiful, what makes us uniquely a woman or a female or a empowered person? I don't know. It's kind of like, it's crazy the way that the world does that. Were you nervous that first day when you ran out? I mean, obviously you were nervous making your international debut, right, in front of all these people. But did you think like, wow, how are people going to accept me? Had you already come to a place of like, being on that journey of self-acceptance, like you said, surrounded by amazing support, amazing family, people who loved you? Were you already kind of on that journey? Or like you said, was it more that you were kind of having to figure it out still when you made that debut, that day when you ran out onto the field for the very first time in front of like that crowd?
I was definitely nervous making my debut regardless.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what team I played. I think it was Ireland, but I was nervous. Definitely was only thinking about rugby, but I think it stepping into the World Series environment, I think for the first time, like that new community, definitely there's nerves around feeling acceptance. And I was more hyper aware that, okay, I don't have any hair. Probably most of these players have never seen a player without hair, or they're probably wondering, do I have cancer? Do I ha like why do I not have any hair? And I'm aware that people are aware of me, I guess. And that definitely adds a bit more nerves and insecurity. But that being said, I was well versed on the road of self-acceptance and was really comfortable with how I looked. But stepping into new environments, especially when I was younger, I was 18, I think, when I made my debut, it's still new and you're still navigating those feelings for the first time. But it's something that I think comes and goes. Like you're aware of how you look, you're aware of what people could be thinking about you. And then you also can quickly be focused in like so many other things in life, and it just becomes one aspect of your day to day that becomes irrelevant in some ways because you're so comfortable with how you are, and it is a thought that can come and go,
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that and for sharing into that. And the final thing that I want to ask you before I let you go is, obviously now taking time off, it is so cool. And I really hope that you enjoy it and that you enjoy watching Cape Town Sevens from behind the TV. I'll wave at the camera. Like, not that they'll see me, but I'll wave and be like, hey, what's up, Olivia? Like, thinking of you. But do you have unique goals and new things that you're dreaming about for 2025? I mean, obviously being at the Olympics, achieving what you have achieved, and also like, just taking time off, like you said, feeling refreshed, having like the passion gets so restored when you're being restored in rest, right? Do you have these unique things you want to achieve in 2025? Am I allowed to ask you that question?
No, I think for sure, a obvious one for me is the Rugby World Cup 15s, and I want to be part of that team, and we're really excited about being in that Olympic final and taking home the Rugby World Cup. So that's a big goal of mine that I would like to be a part of. And in the seven side, I think a big one for me is just going to be enjoyment and just being a part of a lot of firsts for a lot of those younger players. Just enjoying the rugby after I feel like a lot of hard work in these last 3 years and getting to a stable place, and now really being able to just enjoy that and exercising a lot of patience in whatever I choose to do. I think that's a good, when we talked about that today, it's a good reminder for me. Those are the main goals. The 15s will be a big focus this year. And then the seven side, I won't be able to play in all the tournaments, but just because of the 15 schedule. But when I do get to play, just really enjoying and just being able to play some rugby with the team.
I think that Rugby World Cup is just like a highlight for all of us. It's still so far away. It's still far away, but it's such an exciting time. I think, I mean, they're already saying this is going to be like one of the biggest sporting events in the UK next year, and so many thousands of people already buying tickets, and it's going to be an amazing experience. I want to wish you all the best from my side with everything that you're going to be doing. And Olivia, I just want to say thank you so much just for being the person that you are. Just how open you are and how warm you are, and that you shine with this unique light and just the kindness that you have and that you carry inside of you. I'm just really grateful we got to just chat, and I just want to wish you all the best for having a good birthday, having a good rest, and then I'm going to say seeing you at the Rugby World Cup next year. I'm just going to say it now. Okay, so
Okay. We'll manifest it. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
thank you so much, Lauren. Thank you so much for having me, and I love this convo. It was really fulfilling for me. So thank you very much.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Take care and see you on the rugby field next year.
Okay. Sounds good. Take care.
You've been listening to the She Speaks Sport podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast app, like Apple, Google, Castbox, and Spotify. Subscribe and like to stay updated on all new episodes. Thanks for listening.